The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 159. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, party people?
And Adam Vale.
What's up, I see you.
Yo, what were you watching, Survivor Series?
It was all right. It is what it is. It's nothing like NXT, which was yesterday. Richard and everybody, and everybody from WrestleCast, we all watched it together.
Oh, shit.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Another 5-hour episode, man?
The one before that, yeah, I think it was like 5 hours.
Damn, you guys go hard, son.
So we did that, then we watched the show, and then tonight's wrestling show was about 5 hours. Yeah, that was
amazing. Fuck, man, you guys are crazy. Yeah,
things are long.
You know,
that's a lot of wrestling.
Wrestling.
A lot of man on man and woman on woman action. They don't do intergender matches, so that's how it works.
Yeah, right. All right. So a couple of things. So no Manny action. He's actually getting back from Anime Con or whatever. They had a Javits, so he's getting back from that. He couldn't join us. And Brett, what the hell is Brian up to tonight? We talked about this before the show.
He is shaking martinis, not stirring them.
Yes, there you go. Oh, man. Okay, a couple of things before we start. I want to give a big shout-out to my man Riku, right, and Richard, who joined us on the last episode of Throwdown. Had a lot of fun with them, talking a lot of shit. And as always, make sure to hit the bell notification so you get notified on YouTube, but that's not always foolproof, so make sure you enable notifications over on Twitter, because every time we go live, you'll get notified. And with that, let's start, man. Okay, so this first question, Ashley, and actually the first two questions, he asked this last week. First one, we are not going to go into it. We've gone into this before. We're not going to get into this because it's going to be half an hour of us going in a fucking circle, not getting anywhere, you know? His question is, does a 10 out of 10 game, you know, mean it's perfect? And crazy enough, we're actually split exactly down the middle here. Three of us say it does mean it's perfect. Three of us say no. And then Manny, as usual, he understands both sides. So, if you want to hear that debate, just refer to... I know we talked about it this year, so just go check those episodes out. But let's get into it. So his first question is, with Take-Two... stating that nearly half of their profits came from microtransactions, and Ubisoft saying that half of their total profits came from microtransactions, it's no wonder that game studios are implementing this into their games. Take-Two has also said that they will be implementing microtransactions to every game in the future. How long until every game company does the same, and would you join a boycott of the games that have microtransactions / loot boxes implemented into them? We kind of had a private conversation about this privately, so let's bring it to the foreground. And Brett, I'm going to start with you because you kind of had a pretty definitive answer to this, you know, about boycotting and all this other stuff.
Oh, God. I'm trying to remember exactly which conversation we're talking about because we've had a lot of them.
The whole thing about how does boycotting the shit actually help in the end? You know, I guess.
Yes and no. The problem, it's interesting because I've been following along this Star Wars story, and my opinion has actually changed recently. So that's why I'm kind of hesitant. I was like, I'm not sure if you asked my old opinion or my new opinion, or rather, I've put a finer point on it. Boycotting a game does work, but only in certain instances. And what I think it really boils down to, and this is the finer point that I've come to in the last couple of weeks, there are a lot of hardcore gamers out there. There are the people that listen to this podcast, for instance. You're people who follow the industry, people who may watch videos before they get started on a game, people who follow development and understand who developers are and the products that they release. These are not your majority of game consumers. your majority of game consumers are anywhere from casual to kind of middle of the road gamers. Some people just know, oh, there's a new blank Mario game coming out, I'm buying it. Some people pay attention, they know the kind of games that are coming out, they might watch E3. But other than that, they only kind of maybe have a cursory attention paid to them. Maybe they're subscribed to a gaming subreddit or something like that. Now, both of these other groups, other than the hardcore gamers, they don't necessarily hear or care about a lot of the little things, the minute details that go on. Now, interestingly, what happens is that when the hardcore gaming crowd makes enough of a ruckus about something, the other two crowds tend to hear that rumbling and pick up on it. And the more that that message is transmitted, the more powerful the effect actually has. You'll notice that EA pretty much brushed off all of these concerns about gaming, even down to not really caring about what the reviews said, because they felt it was a strong enough IP on its own. But the second big major news publications started printing stories, this disseminated into groups 1 and 2. This reflected very badly on them, and more importantly, on their shareholders, because shareholders are rarely part of that group 3. They're part of group 1 or 2, maybe. Most likely, they're part of a completely separate group 0 that has no affiliation with gaming whatsoever. They only know the business practice and the business side of this. And the business side says that EA has been turning record profits with microtransactions. So out of these, I guess now 4 groups of people, 2 of them are intrinsically at odds with each other. And the end goal seems to actually be who can broadcast their message loudest to the middle 2 groups. So yes, long and short of it is boycotting works, but only if you get other people on board. It can't just be you standing on your principles. You need to be vocal with everybody you know about why you are vehemently against this practice and why they should join in on that, and have them tell a friend. Everybody tell 2 friends until everybody knows about this shit, and then you'll see a major impact.
Yeah, and you've done boycotts yourself in the past, so I guess your answer would be yes, you know, to some extent. Maybe not microtransactions, but you have boycotted games before because of shitty business practices. Batman specifically, you know?
I have, and actually, I haven't actually seen a lot of what Batman has done. I mean, maybe they've disguised it under new window dressing, but I haven't seen a lot of, well, here's a main character that we're going to lock behind a paywall or something like that. I haven't seen much of that used game punishment going on anymore. So to a certain extent, I guess minor success. I believe it does, but I believe that it's more complex than just boycotting. So you can't just be like, well, I'm not going to buy that. Everybody else will come to the same conclusion as well. Like, no, much like politics, you need to talk about this kind of shit, but you need to be civil too. Don't talk to somebody like, oh, you're buying that piece of shit. Like, a lot of people are uneducated. Take the time to sit down with somebody and be like, okay, there's the things you should know walking into this. And if we can get this all the way to mom and dad buying, you know, PS4 games for little Timmy at Christmas, then they're going to be like, oh, that's that Star Wars game I read about, or I heard about that on the news. There's a bunch of people pissed off because I guess it's got a bunch of hidden expenses in it or something. And that's all, like, again, once that message is planted into the average consumer, do you have any idea how hard EA is going to have to work to pull that out? That's the thing that fucking terrifies them, is having their brand linked to exploitive business practices in the casual consumer's mind, which is this whole gambling thing scared the ever loving fuck out of them. And that's, they've rolled over, they've shown us their belly. And this is important because I think for the first time in a long time, even probably more so than the Xbox thing, we've seen exactly where these people are reacting to and how they're reacting. They've shown the chink in their armor. They've shown the soft spot of, oh shit, this is what hurts us, this is what scares us. So now it's our responsibility as gamers to go after that spot as much as possible when they try to put in abusive practices.
So hit the weak spot for maximum damage.
Exactly.
All right. Adam, man, get in here. What do you say?
I mean, we've seen this before with season passes, remember? And that was a big thing. And then also paying $10 to go online and people, you know, boycotts it. I don't give a shit. And this, and they change up. And I think that's what's going to happen. This was a big wake-up call, you know, especially with what happened with Battlefront. I mean, we've talked about it before. A bunch of other games are doing this and making tons of money, and no one gives a shit. You know, it's just that this is just the audience that decided to get very vocal about their complaints with microtransactions. So I think this is good. This is a good thing that it happened now. So next year, we're not going to see this. It'll probably still be in the game, but it'll be pushed to the side, or it's not going to be the focal point. The problem is EA was throwing this as a focal point to everything. You know, you recommended this Need for Speed Payback, right? So I got this Need for Speed Payback, and that's all it talks about. Speed points, speed cards, go in, go buy this. I'm like, what the hell happened to just me getting parts for my car or cars? No, it wants me to get speed points so then I can go and get these loot crates and hopefully get what I want. That's bullshit. But you know what? That game flopped also. The story mode for Battlefront is getting horrible reviews. Forget about the microtransactions. That's going to spread around high schools and middle schools. When kids go in, it's like, oh, you heard about this, whatever. Yeah, the story sucks. Oh, all right, then fuck it. You know? So it's going to come and go. And it sucks because I know EA put a lot of money into it. Disney is putting a lot of money into it. And right now, it looks like it's going to flop, not just for the microtransactions, just because it's not a good game.
Yeah, I was, by the way, speaking about Disney, Miguel says that Disney didn't like it. It's a rumor. No, it's not a rumor. It's a fact that Disney Disney CEO called up EA CEO hours before they got rid of those microtransactions. So Papa Disney was pissed. You know, they probably I think it was Paul Tassi, right, from Forbes. He was like, this is how I imagine it, the conversation, the Disney CEO. What the hell are you guys doing in Star Wars? Oh, we wanted to create a revenue. Why are you making people hate Star Wars? But we just want to make more money. Take away the thing people hate.
I'm sure there's a clause that if they're putting damage or defacing their IP, that they can just void that contract out.
They can. Right. Oh, yeah. We have a question about that too, which is actually a very good question, because remember, EA owns the rights right now to Star Wars, but Disney has the ultimate rights. Chris is going to hear, man. Would you support a boycott if this keeps happening and shit with future games?
Absolutely. Like, you know, I do. Like, stand on principle, but Brett's absolutely right. Like, I can't, you know, we can't be the only ones saying that, you know, in all sanity, this is ridiculous and super greedy and hate it. And everybody else goes, fuck, I'm going to buy it anyway, you know? But at the same time, you take a case by case basis. Now, EA is the worst, like, purveyor of greed in gaming, I think. And Take-Two is coming right along. They're learning their lesson, because if you look at, and look at GTA 5. Look at the cost of anything in-game from 2014 till now. It has increased like 20-fold, right? This is game money. I mean, they could make a car cost like $5 in-game dollars if they wanted to. They set the prices on stuff. They set the grind and all this stuff. So they're learning. They're like, because they're shark cards. But, I mean, that in itself, at least it's like not buying a shark card and going, well, you don't know what car you're going to get. Right, that's a loot box, and I think that's absolutely abhorrent. I'm against when I heard about it in Shadow of War, I'm like, this is complete bullshit. So,
Chris, can I?
Yeah. Go ahead.
That the shark card kind of thing, to piggyback on what Chris said, is kind of almost a necessary evil. For those of you too young to remember, and I know I've said this before, but I just want to reiterate it. In the early days of Warcraft, currency was sold by third player bots, and no matter what way people tried to get around that, if there was any kind of trading, and which I know GTA doesn't have, but if there's any kind of trading whatsoever, it will end up being exploited. So to a certain extent, selling currency eventually became an obvious move because it was demanded by a market. It created a market, a black market by itself. So you can't necessarily fault a company for necessarily selling currency. As much as I fucking hate it myself, you can't really fault them for it because we demanded it as fucking gamers.
It's not the currency itself. It's then what are the costs of things in-game? Like when I started GTA 5, the highest, the the costliest supercar was $1 million, and that was like outrageous. Now the costliest supercar is $3 million, right? And then jets and everything going, military equipment you buy, whatever. You'll spend tons and tons of money, and then they have the shark cards right there because they make the grinds almost unbearable. If you don't run two or three businesses in GTA 5, you can't. It'll take you a month to get enough money to buy like one thing.
Yeah, so, I was trying to highlight that. I was just trying to put the whole thing into context that it's not the money that you have that people have the issue with, or at least I think it's the weird exploitation they do to drive you to pay the money, right?
Yeah, yeah. So with EA, you know, absolutely they've gone a step too far. I'm really glad that Disney stepped in and stopped them from doing that, probably for the wrong reasons, but it's the right outcome. They took the microtransactions out. Now in the future, that's absolutely, if companies, EA, Activision, I don't care who, Take-Two, I don't care who it is, if they do this, loot crates, whatever, and they're going to lock content or most of the game behind paywalls and microtransactions, don't fucking give them money. And you give them a piece of your mind instead. Go on forums, make videos, talk to us, talk to whoever, get the message out there like Brett said, and tell, don't buy this game. And you tell them, you open letter basically to EA and all these greedy fucks, and you tell them that I'm not going to support this, and nobody should, and your asses should be out of business if you keep this up.
Also, everybody this year, vote for EA for the worst company in America. They absolutely hate it. They freak out every time it happens, and it has to scare off shareholders.
Yeah, I mean they're beating out banks for the worst company in America. Like you realize how crappy you have to be to.
Well, it's not even that they got it. It's that every time the two times that they've got it, they've actually taken the time to respond in a butthurt public to the internet in general. Actually brought up, like, you have all these people that are in line, you know, toxic waste spillers and blah blah blah, and you vote us the worst company in America.
Well, you know, and you're doing something wrong then. Like, get the message. Get the freaking message. Wells Fargo opens up fake accounts for people, and they're not voted the worst company in America. You are. Get the message.
Oh, man. All right, Carlos, get in here, man.
Yeah, just like everyone said, you don't even need to boycott. The threat of a boycott can cause change, like what we've seen with EA. Like, the game didn't even come out, and they backed off on their shit. So, yeah, you just, like, people need to, like, put their money where their mouth is, like, literally. So yeah, there's nothing really else to say other than, like, these kinds of practices are not something that I think the people will just blindly, like, lean upon, right? So yeah, I fuck microtransactions. I'm just This whole microtransactions talks.
Is it really microtransactions or is loot crates? I think it's loot crates.
Well, they're both the same thing. They're basically the same thing.
At least if I know what I'm buying, if let's say, like we talked about with the car or with the shark cards, at least I know I can get what I want. You know, loot crates, you don't. You know, you put in your money, your $20, whatever, and you hope that you get what you want.
Well, loot crate is a subset of a microtransaction. It's like,
But it's just a different form. Get rid of the whole loot crates and just keep it to just, hey, you want this car? $5.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, there's other, along with loot crates. Loot crates are bad, right? But yeah, we should also be angry at prohibitive grinding and stuff that forces people to need to buy in-game currency. So if Rockstar puts, like, I need to import, export, and gun running and smugglers run in order to get enough money, so maybe in 2 weeks I could buy the latest supercar, or I could buy a Megalodon car for $100. So that car really costs $100 in real life, right? Those kind of practices need to stop too. So we need to draw a line in the sand, but not just loot crates. Like, that's not the bridge too far. We were already past that bridge. Brian has been complaining about this forever. We passed that point, right? So we need to take it back to sanity. Like, loot crates should be the tipping point that everybody goes, all right, we've had enough. We need to reform this. And if you don't reform it, we're going to shut you down.
Yeah. And kind of like what Hashlinger is kind of like mentioning, it's like, well, like what I got from his thing is, like, why the hell are we paying $60 for these games?
Yeah.
It's like they're making most of their money, a freaking lion's share of the revenue from the game using microtransactions. Why the hell do you even charge us $60 for then? Like, just be up front to what the model of your of the practices of how you make money for the games are.
Yeah. By the way, Carlos, to answer your question, because they can. That's why. Right. And also because gamers have this stupid notion that if a game is less than $60, it is not a good game. It's a stupid notion, but they honestly believe that.
Retailers
gamers say that. It's like, it's a budget game, $40. They've been saying that.
That's marketing. Who do you think gives that you that idea? Like, retailers have, like, they will only put $60 games in the case. They will put $30 games in another case and $20 games in a fucking bin. They know what they're doing, and there is actually one of the arguments as to why, like, the increase for No Man's Sky was there, was that retailers don't want to carry a game unless it's a $60 price tag because it's not worth the space on their shelf. Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, but I'm just saying that
it's both.
Yeah, it is both. Yeah, because I hear it all the time. Like, $40, that must be a cheap game. Who wants to buy that shit?
Well, PUBG is going to be on store shelves, and that's $30.
Yeah, that's true. And wasn't Overwatch like $40?
Shit, it's not even.
$60. Overwatch has always been $60.
Really? It's not even in real time. Yeah, man, it's Overwatch game of the year.
Never been cheap.
Man. I thought Overwatch. Okay, I guess I was wrong. I thought Overwatch was $40. Anyway, I think we pretty much covered this topic here. I almost forgot about myself. Would I boycott a game? I mean, okay. What is boycotting exactly? And I know this is a stupid question. Is it you're actively not buying a game, or is it just not buying a game, period? Because if it's just not buying a game, period, I'm already boycotting this game by virtue of me not being interested in it. You know what I mean?
I think along with not buying the game, you have to be vocal and public about why you're not buying it. Simply not buying a game, like, I didn't buy, like, Stardew Valley, but I don't hate Stardew
Valley. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like,
But not buying Battlefront 2, if I was going to buy it, and me saying, like, you guys are greedy assholes, and this is why I'm not buying this game. I would have been interested otherwise, but you're ripping people off, and therefore I'm voting with my wallet. I'm not giving you money. I'm letting people know why I'm not giving you money. That's boycotting, right?
Yeah, I got you. That's a tough question. I don't know if it's a game I really, really want. I'll probably still buy this shit, to be honest, even though I'm not with this whole microtransaction loot crate shit.
And that's the thing, though. It's like, if you're not, they're like, oh, I'm not going to buy this, then don't. I mean, if you just wanted the game for, let's say, the story, then just play the fucking story. Yeah. You don't have to buy the other shit. All that stuff is all for the multiplayer. And a lot of people, honestly, don't play multiplayer. You're not a big multiplayer guy. A lot of people, they like the story.
Yeah.
But they don't learn anything if you buy it anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
To them, you're a statistic on a spreadsheet. You're part of the billions of dollars they earned in a fiscal year. They don't care about you, the gamer. They don't care about you as a person. They just look at the spreadsheet, they look at the numbers, and they go, this model worked. Do it over again, and you will keep getting watered down shitty stories for vast multiplayer and huge microtransactions.
But if no one's buying the content, then that staff that they're trying to keep employed to do the work, then there's no point. Then they'll see, they're like, all right, that didn't work because no one's buying this shit. They're buying the game, but no one's buying the microtransactions, the loot crates, and we're spending all this money promoting it. We got a full staff coming up with new shit to sell, and no one's buying it.
Yeah, but that's if you're dealing with honest people. See, most marketers are dishonest people. They're guys who want they're cowardly people who want to save their own jobs. They don't give a shit about you, me, or anyone. They're weak people, by the way. They act strong when they're interviewed and stuff because they have a position of power. If you take away the money, they are nothing. These people are nothing. But they're also dishonest. So they, in order to keep their jobs and keep their narrative going, they will futz numbers and do whatever they can. So you have to go a step beyond that. You can't make them hurt a little bit. You have to make them hurt a lot in order that they can't hide stuff like this. They can't hide this anymore. Agendas can only go so far until your business goes out. Why do you think Axel Alonso's not working on Marvel anymore? Are things that people see in their eyes. You can only keep a narrative going so far.
All right. Let's move on, man. We still got a couple more questions, y'all. G Megaforce 123, man. So his first question is, why does the average adult act like video games aren't for people with jobs? The typical response being something like, there just isn't enough time, and I'm always working. Even when I'm not at work, there's always something I got to be working on at home. Is this still a thing that's going on? Like, you know, people
because
think
because they don't recognize the fact all the time that they sink into mindlessly watching TV.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. Okay. Simple question, right? How is playing a video game a waste of your time, yet binge watching fucking Daredevil is not a waste of time? Can someone answer that for me?
It's a rhetorical question, because wasting time is only wasted when the person who utilizes that time sees it that as time wasted.
I know, but this is different though. This is another person outside of the person, quote unquote, wasting their time, saying they're wasting their time. Understand?
Well, fuck what they think. Like, it's bullshit. Like,
time is my time.
Like, there's always been a stigma for gamers and for people who play video games in general, and that stigma hasn't gone away. It's dying down. Like, it's mostly with the older generation. The older generation still sees as people who play video games as fucking people who just spend all their time playing video games, don't do anything else, live in their mom's basements, like, don't have a social, active social life or anything like that. So there's still that stigma. But as we keep progressing as a society, people that are growing up see video games as sort of a mainstream medium to like spend their time. So it's just like, this is just bullshit. Like, people just
they prefer active engagement as opposed to passive engagement. There's no right or wrong. People can enjoy passive engagement, but to the people that are like, well, I don't have time to play video games, and I don't understand if you have a job, how you have time to play video games. Because instead of sitting there zoning out and beta waving in front of a Netflix for 3 hours a night, I get online and play video games and get on a headset and talk to people. I'm actually being more engaged. I'm utilizing critical thought and I'm socializing instead of just sitting there. So it's how you're using it. I mean, everybody has about the same amount of free time, even adults. Like, if you're an adult that's so busy with four kids that you don't have time for literally any hobby or to watch TV, like, I find that kind of hard to believe. I think a lot of people just assume, like, oh, so I can, you know, I don't have the time to marathon watch True Blood and play video game. Like, well, no, you don't. You're going to have to make the choice. And obviously video games aren't as important to you as whatever else you're doing.
Yeah, but again, it's just, I think Carlos hit it on the head. It's like, this is the older generation still saying this bullshit, you know?
That's what I'm saying. I agree, but they watch 4 hours of Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. All right, we answered that. So next question is, did Xbox gamers not play video games during the Nintendo and Sega era? They keep saying Japan is irrelevant, so I'm guessing they didn't play Contra, Mario, Castlevania, Mega Man's, you know, Japanese games from Japan or own Japanese systems like Nintendo or Sega. We actually talked about this before. It's like, wow, okay, did these guys not grow up with the fucking Nintendo and shit? Because they say, oh, these fucking crappiness games, who wants to play that shit? I'm like, I couldn't wrap my mind around the only way you could say that shit is if you grew up with a fucking gaming PC, you know, playing Carmen Sandiego or something. That's the only way I could.
You start with PlayStation or Xbox. But PlayStation is
Japanese. You know, I'm talking about 40-year-old dude saying this shit. You know, that's the part I don't get.
I think they're seeing it the wrong way. I think what they're trying to say is the JRPGs and stuff. I think that's what they're bitching about.
No, they're saying all games, even like hack and slash games, whatever. If it's from Japan, it's shit to them.
That's weird.
You know? I'm like, but the thing, some of these guys, when you say, what about Contra? Contra's not Japanese. Yeah, Contra's motherfucking Japanese, bro. It's Castlevania, you know?
But that's where I think Adam's partly right. They just, they're lumping everything with the JRPG.
Yeah.
They think Final Fantasy is crap, right?
Yeah.
But they see everything like that. So when you get an answer like that, when you say Contra's awesome, they're like, yeah, it's awesome. No, it's made in Japan, right? What are you talking about? No way. There's two white dudes with their shirts off running around shooting aliens. What the fuck are you talking about? They don't have spiky hair.
Yeah.
I think I get it. Well, there's also the common thread of, like, Devil May Cry. There's anime-inspired games. There's Japanese-y games, and then there's games made by Japanese studios. And a lot of times there's a pretty big overlap, and we all know those Japanesey kind of games.
Yeah.
Dynasty Warriors would fall into that category. Most JRPGs would fall into that category. Devil May Cry would fall into that category. Ninja Gaiden would fall into that category.
Yeah.
Persona. I mean, it's not just JRPGs, but there are games that definitely have a Japanese kind of flavor. And I guess, while I don't have any issue with that myself, I guess somebody could find that particular thing distasteful.
And this guy's is spread a bad narrative. Like, there's people who definitely don't know that. Like, obviously, Tony has found them. And then this guy's like crap human, excuse me, gamer,
yeah.
who will perpetuate this stupidity, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and then they start calling, you know, like Japanese people racial slurs and shit. They take it to a whole other level.
Oh, Jesus.
Know? Yeah, like they say shit like, oh, these bunch of fucking rice eaters. I'm like, okay.
You know? Rice.
That's what I'm saying, man. We love arroz, you know? Fuck.
And these are like actual 40-year-old gamers.
Yes. Brett, I wish I was making this up, man. These are dudes that have fucking kids and wives and shit just going crazy. Oh, God, bro.
They procreated?
Yes.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say some of these dudes even have like, I'm not going to name names, but you're going to know who I'm talking about. This guy posted a picture that his kid drew of Microsoft's executive. So either one of two things happened. Either way, it's fucking creepy. Either he made his kid draw this shit or he fucking drew it. Either way, it's bad. You know, like a picture of like Phil Spencer and Mike Ibarra. Like, what the fuck is this shit? You know, like, you know, with the crayons and all that shit, you know, yo, these guys are maniacs, man. They're crazy. But yeah, crap in these games. Such a fucking idiot. But then the funny thing is, the instant a Japanese game gets on their shit, they fucking love it. They were hyped for Scalebound. That's Japanese.
Japanese to them.
No, but it wouldn't matter. Even if what's that game you like, Carlos, on Xbox? Fucking Lost Odyssey, right? When that got re-released, they were hyped as shit. I'm like, why didn't you buy it originally?
Well, beggars can't be choosers, man.
Oh, that's a good argument.
Shit,
like
man.
I'll explain the reason, and it's pretty simple. It's a filter. Like, what games are on Xbox?
Nothing. There's nothing out.
But yeah, so it's mostly like shooters, racing. Like, that's what they're focusing on mostly. Like, they don't have an abundance of JRPGs available in their category or anything like that. So obviously, the people who support these types of games will be on Nintendo or PlayStation or whatever platform plays it. The ones that stick primarily, I'm talking about single console primary gamers, like the people who just want to play third party games or shooters or Halo or Gears are just going to be on Xbox.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
It's in that way, I understand why. People who don't like RPGs tend to be in that platform and don't have an open mind.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. Moving on here to Black Metal Gamer. So this one is, here we go, Adam. This ties back into what you were talking about before. If Battlefront 2 suffers bad sales-wise, how will this affect any plans for Star Wars games? For you who don't know, EA has the rights to all Star Wars games. That's why they're making a shit ton of them. But if this game tanks, how is that going to affect it? So, Adam, since you started talking about it, what do you think, you know, how do you think this is all going to play out?
I think it all depends. I'm sure Disney has a team of lawyers that could find some kind of loophole or something in there saying, hey, you know what? We need out because you're hurting our IP. We lost profits. They'll make up some numbers or something. You know, and then they can just shop it around to another studio. You know, I'm sure there's plenty of others that'll jump to it. You know, imagine Rockstar doing one. You know,
imagine Naughty Dog doing it.
God, man,
you know what I mean? I'm sure there's plenty of other studios out there that are like, yeah, go ahead. This is great. Fuck everything up. You know, because then Disney will just pull it, and that's what will happen.
Yeah, Hashling and Cess is until 2023. So, but they could do it if they find that loophole, like you said. Yeah,
if they see that, if this is right now, think about it. This is probably the worst reviewed Star Trek anything. Star Wars.
You've been watching Odyssey or whatever, Discovery.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right about that, because the contract may say as long as you sell X amount. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you, man.
And if it starts getting all this bad press, they're like, oh, no, it's not us. Don't, because people know that Disney owns Star Wars. And the last thing they want is like, oh, man, Disney's nickel and dime. No. It's our partner. Oh, it's your partner. You're friends with people like this. You partner with people like this. Oh, no, we don't. Not anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I really don't have much to add to that. I think you hit it on the head, man. Activision. I don't know if that'd be a better situation, you know? Where are we right now? Okay. I don't like these type of questions, but, you know, I'll throw it in there. Okay, what quarter one 2018 game do you think will sell the highest? We're gonna answer your question, but why do you guys ask us these type of questions? Who honestly gives a fuck? You know, yeah. I'm just being real right now. I don't give a fuck. You know, like whatever game sells the most is not going to affect me. It's not going to affect you, you know, and I never like speculating, oh, this game's going to sell 13.5 billion. This one's going to sell 11.2 million. It's like, whatever, you know, I don't know. Whatever you think is going to win it. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't really mind that kind of question. It's interesting. Like it's kind of seen like what sort of like what people prefer over other things. And like my answer would be, hold on, is Red Dead Redemption or Red Dead 2 going
to
come out?
Supposedly. But the thing is, it's not really supposed to be about what people prefer. It's supposed to be an objective question, isn't it? What game do you think is going to sell the most? So there, you have to take personal opinion out of that equation.
Oh, yeah. Know? Yeah, you kind of have to boil it down into a science.
That's but I think you're right. I think you actually did hit Red Dead Redemption. Probably will be the highest selling game. I don't know how much it'll sell, but that'll probably be just because it's fucking Red Dead and Rockstar. You know, I heard that's March. If that's March, same month as God of War. Whew, boy,
it'll be delayed.
You mean twice? Because it already got delayed.
It'll be delayed.
GTA 5 was supposed to launch March of 2013, and it didn't.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, it'll get delayed, and it'll be an awfully convenient delay because it'll push it into a place where there are less competitive games, and then this is just because I guess I'm feeling cynical tonight. The answer to this question is the same game that'll win Game of the Year, even though it's not technically out yet.
Man. Well, and I don't think
for the same reasons.
I don't think. You think it would release, like, so let's say Red Dead's slated for March 2018, right?
That's what I heard, yeah.
If that gets delayed, do you guys think, I think it would get, if it gets delayed, it would get delayed to the fall of the same year. Yeah. I don't think it would come out, like, during the summer or anything like that.
No, I think it would be, I think they'd push it till fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, GTA 5 launched September of 2013 after its delay.
Yeah, I'm imagining they're also going to want to be particularly careful to have the online up and running at launch, which is what will probably prompt the delay because they don't want to repeat the huge fiasco of GTA Online coming soon.
Yeah, even though wasn't GTA Online delayed?
No, that's what I'm saying. GTA Online did not launch with the game, even though they promised that it would.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What, and really? Everybody I thought was it was super just
about it.
No, it was just heist mode.
Yeah.
No,
was it just heist mode?
No. GTA proper online was delayed for like 2 weeks, I believe.
Really?
And then when it launched, it was all fucked up and broken. Yeah, you know,
heist didn't come out for like a year, or a year and a half, something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Forever. And then the PC version.
All right. Okay. So yeah, I mean, what else is coming out? I know Monster Hunter's coming. God of War is coming. Who knows when the hell Spider-Man's coming, if that's going to be quarter one. I doubt it, you know. Dragon Ball is going to be coming out quarter one, I believe. What happened?
Yeah, it is. Spider-Man. Like I think it's coming out. It's like February or something like that.
Oh, shit. Okay. So
are we talking overall or like will it be a bestseller for the PS4?
No, overall. Overall. Wow. Most copies.
Okay.
Like third party multiplat.
Yeah, everything, you know. It'll be fucking pub again.
It could still be a contender.
Could be. That's what I'm saying. I don't really like answering these type of questions, you know. Too much speculation, you know.
Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter. You know, or Dinosaur Warriors.
If Red Dead comes out, it'll be Red Dead. If not, it'll probably be God of War, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I don't think God of War would come close to the other games.
Yeah, not Spider-Man would fucking destroy it. Let's just be honest. You know?
Yeah, no, that's true. Now, I think Spider-Man is a good fucking chance, man.
Hey, man, no votes for Ni No Kuni 2?
Nah, you know that's not going to go anywhere,
fuck
man.
Fuck that shit.
I'm
mad at Ni No Kuni.
Oh.
Because they took out the Pokemon aspect, you know?
Oh.
The one aspect that was kind of whatever in the original game, you know? Anyway. Yeah.
Points to the fucking game. One of the things that set it aside from most other games.
Not to me, dude. I barely use that shit. I'm like, all right, it's just a fucking animal, you know, whatever. where the hell are we? All right, All Day Digital. And since we're like really running through these questions, I'm gonna actually toss in his leftover questions from last week too. So let's start with this first one. Okay, Sony recently trademarked one of my favorite games, Siphon Filter. Do you guys think we could see another installment of the game?
Oh, man.
Here's the thing. You do realize they could just be renewing the license or whatever,
yeah,
just so they could release it as a PS2 classic, you know?
Yeah, they did this in 2014, too, and I got all excited. Like, they renewed the trademark Siphon Filter. We're gonna see. No, didn't happen. So I think they're just sitting on the trademark. They don't want it to expire. Just in case they decide to make that happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying I don't think it'll happen anytime soon. I think if you see, you'll see Siphon Filter on PS5.
Yeah. <right? laughs> Oh man. I've never played Siphon Filter, and absolutely no interest in it. So I have nothing to say. But yeah, I believe it's going to be a PS2 classic. You know, with trophy support and all that other shit. You know.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. All right. So no one else. I wish Brian was here because that's one of his favorite things.
Yeah, he loves Siphon Filter. Yeah. I think he'd agree.
Coming. All right. The next question here is, did achievements / trophies have an impact on the way you play your games? For me, when I play Nintendo games, I feel not as attached to the title without them. I never knew this little subtle thing would have such an impact on me, but it does. Adam and I were talking about that the other day. Basically, like, I'll set it up and then you could continue, Adam. So I was saying that I just got, you know, I think like 500 something moons in Mario, and he's like, prove it. You can't prove that shit. I'm like, yeah, I know. It fucking irks me. You know, it's like I'm doing all this shit for nothing, kind of, you know. But Adam, go ahead, man. How's it changed?
Because it's not so much of just the number going up and all that. It's more of like just documenting, you know. Yeah. It's putting it on my permanent record, you know? It's like, this has been done, and it's there, and it's like my own little sticker catalog.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my name is Mayo.
Exactly. Yeah, you go. I love it. You know what I mean? It's like just keeping track of that. You know, Mr. Masagi, you know, the BS games that came out that people were like, that wasn't a real game. Yeah, it was. And I got the platinum approval. Because no one's going to give a shit 10 years from now. You know, and it's just, you know, just cataloging it, just keeping track. It's like keeping track of everything as opposed to always saying, because we grew up in that era where it's like, yeah, I got that game, or I played that, I beat that. We all know that one kid that kept saying that shit.
Yeah.
I rented it and I beat over the weekend. Bullshit. Yeah. All right. Whatever.
Bullshit.
Now we can prove it. You know what I mean? Now somebody can whip out their phone on the app. Yo, what's your game attack? Yo, you didn't play this shit. My friends. Yeah, whatever. You know, it's like, so. And when I'm playing like on the Switch, and especially with like Rocket League and stuff, especially Rocket League, because I was hyped on it. I love Rocket League on the consoles and stuff. So when I got, I'm like, yeah, this is gonna be great. And I was like, something's missing. None of this matters. That's what's missing. nothing gets documented. No one can see what I'm doing. You know, it's like, oh, cross play and all that, but I can't talk to them. You know what I mean? So it really doesn't help. It just populates, and it just felt empty. And all of it starts feeling real empty, you know, and I hate that feeling, but that's what it is. And I really wish that they had something like some kind of tracking system just to say, hey, this is your Nintendo lifespan. You know, this is what you've been doing. You know, you beat Tyson and Mike Tyson's punch out, you know, stuff like that. And the fact that it's not there, it just, yeah, I feel like something's missing.
Yeah. And Nintendo would have like the greatest achievements too,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
But it, yeah, it's sad. But yeah, no, I love the documentation part because like you said, back in the day, like, yeah, I'm beat that shit over the weekend. Son, like, yeah, really prove it. And you, there's no way to, like, basically you can't dispute them. Now it's like, what's your gamer tag, bro?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's why I love, you know, that's why Cuphead exposed a lot of dudes. You can't say you beat Cuphead. Show me them fucking achievements, bro. let's see how far you
with achievements at with achievements.
You know, oh man, Chris, what do you say, man?
Oh, absolutely, it's changed the way I play games because I'll complete more stuff. Not only that, yeah, exactly. You try to do shit you know would normally do. It's like, let me find all these fucking pigeons, man. Like, normally in the game, I ain't mm-hmm. doing this shit. I'm going for the boss. Like, no, I gotta find these pigeons, man. That's a gold trophy right there. Yeah. Even I find it going into playing Nintendo games, like I was playing Zelda, and I'm trying to get all his memories. Why the fuck do I care? I'm not. Nobody's gonna know I did this, and I could go kill again and right now. I don't need to do this shit, this side shit. It's just because I'm so used to doing that on PSN and then for achievements that I'm doing it there, even though for Nintendo it doesn't matter, right? But it has changed how I play games.
And just to add to that, there's something that the PlayStation does that the Xbox doesn't, and it really gets to me. And something I really like is that when you pop a certain trophy, it'll tell you the status, whether it's common, rare, very rare, ultra rare. And that always gets me because, like, wow, I just got something and it's listed as ultra rare, and this has been out for months. No one's done this. A very small margin of people have done this, you know? And so it adds a little more to the experience.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm losing my fucking track. Anyway, achievements are cool. I like the tracking and stuff. It exposes people, which is probably my favorite aspect of it, especially with Cuphead. I'm like, how many of you motherfuckers beat this game? Let me find out. You know, this is the thing I wanted to bring up. Okay, when I was growing up and stuff, I never ever played a game on hard mode. I'm like, why the fuck? I'm just going to play on normal. Achievements made me play games on hard mode for the first time in my life. I'm like, okay, may as well give it a shot. I want to get the fucking platinum, you know? So it makes me do stuff I would normally not. Don't get me wrong. Some achievements are fucking bullshit. Like, shoot 10 million bullets. I'm like, okay, this is just busy work. And you're just giving me a bronze for that? Fuck out of here. You know, like, nowadays, I'm at, you know, because when achievements first started or trophies first started, I was like, nope, I am not putting you down until I finish everything. And I would, like, mortify myself. Now it's like, if I feel the achievement or whatever is, like, unfair, I'm like, fuck that shit. I'm not doing it, you know? But I also feel that if a game is really, really good, as weird as it sounds, I owe it to that game to get that fucking achievement. And also, it feeds my, like, OCD shit. I love fucking collecting shit. You know, I love that 100%. If I get 99% of the game, I'm gonna be honest, I get a little irked. I'm like, I didn't beat this fucking game. You know, I'm the dude, even before achievements even existed, I would get 100% on GTA every single time I would play it. Because it's like, no, I can't leave this shit at 70. Yeah. That just can't happen. I need to get 100 in this shit.
But at least the game would tell you, right? Nintendo games don't tell you. If I don't talk to this certain dude, I don't know he has a side quest. I might want to do that.
Yeah, you're right about that. Because you could bring that memory card to your boy's crib. Like, yo, man, 100%. You want this? You want this shit? You know?
And it's a win-win even for the publisher on their end. Because then they get a little counter and get to see, all right, everyone's playing it to this point. Everyone's doing this mission type. You know what I mean? They keep track. And at least with PlayStation, Microsoft never did this. But when I get these platinums, I get emails from these publishers. And I get put on lists and stuff. And they're like, hey, you want to be in this beta? And why do they care? It's because I actually play their game through. You know what I mean? So they're like, all right, you really like this shit. I get all this Ubisoft stuff because of the damn Wildlands plant I got.
You know, and you don't think that backfires, though?
What do you mean? For them? Yeah, I mean, if no one...
No, for games and all. Like, okay, so they get a look at the metadata of who's finishing their game. Yeah. They're finding... Mm-hmm. So this ultra-rare trophy that you got, you're like, damn, I'm the only people that saw this. They're going to notice that only 2% of the population did that and not bother to do that in the next game because it didn't get much mass audience appeal most people didn't see this content. So why would they not just do the stuff that 95% of people do, which just homogenizes and waters down the game in further iterations?
It all depends on the publisher and how they want to do it, you know? I mean, this is
okay Titanfall. You're really going to put your faith in a publisher to make the right decision for you?
Well, it's been like that. You know, this is not new. We've seen this where games that some people bitch about the multiplayer. They're like, oh, I don't want trophies in multiplayer. And they're like, all right, fine, we'll take it out.
Well, no, but like one of the first games to like really try and incorporate this user tracking and metadata was Assassin's Creed, and you saw those games that got more and more and more watered down until they were just basically bland mashed potatoes. I'm just saying, I'm obviously the counterpoint to this whole thing. So I'll ask you, Tony, do you want the Tony answer or do you want the my answer?
No, I won't. What is the Tony answer? I don't even understand that. The bread answer. You're not Tony. You're bread, man. What's your answer?
My answer is that I honestly don't give a fuck about trophies, and that if you really twisted my arm, I'd probably say that I think they encourage a behavior in gamers that I feel allows publishers to be made lazy. So when I joke and I say the Tony answer, the Tony answer would be, I don't like this thing, even though it's unrelated to me. So I got you. Be there. but so I'll preface this all with saying, like, I don't really give a fuck, but I do find it mildly infuriating every time I come across obvious busy work activity that contains absolutely no satisfaction and no fun, and is clearly busy work to make me get a trophy, and is there for those compulsive completionists. And I feel, again, that's I know people with OCD, and they're like, man, I have to find all these pigeons now, because the number I have like 47 out of 60, and now it's going to fucking bother me. And I'm like, you're not playing for fun, though. You're playing because now you feel uneasy. The game has put you in a sense of mild anxiety that you need to resolve. That's not what the point of a game is supposed to be. The point of a game is supposed to be that it's fun. In Chris's instance, when Chris is like, why the fuck am I looking for all these memories? The answer should be because they're fun. Now, they weren't fun to find at all, but I think side quests and side events should be completed because they're fun. I mean, Chris, why do you invade in Dark Souls? Because you get a trophy for it? No, because it's fun as a motherfucker.
Right, like, But I invade 15 times as a mound maker because I want that damn trophy. You know, that's the difference. So see, so I could turn that right around. But the memories I'd say Zelda's fun. The memories aren't fun though. I hate looking for those fucking spots.
Oh god, they're awful.
Yeah. See, so but if you gave me a reward for them, hell yeah, I'm gonna go find them.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I'll take a picture.
But then it's just making you do something that you don't want to do.
Yeah, but it's just an accolade. It's just a reward. Like, I'm playing this game, you gave me something for it. Okay, so I'll go after it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's incentivizing you to put more time in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That just sounds to me like, hey guys, do you want to do this thing do you want to do blank thing that you really don't want to do? And everyone's like, no. And I'd be like, would you do it for Throwdown Bucks? What the fuck are Throwdown Bucks? Imaginary Throwdown points that mean absolutely nothing. I'd be like, oh, well, I don't know, maybe.
But you didn't have to pay for it, and it's in the game.
No, he's talking about, you know, Throwdown points, stickers, whatever. Just something digital that doesn't actually have any value. Let's just be honest.
It's a gold star.
Yeah, basically. It means absolutely shit. But it's fun to get that gold star, though. That's the thing. You know, here's the thing, Brett.
When a teacher gives you a gold star, it was because they gave you the gold star for doing something you didn't want to do and normally wouldn't have done on your own because you didn't want to do it.
But here's the thing, though. Go ahead, Chris. I got something to say real quick.
I'll talk. How Nintendo could rebalance it. Like, if there was better rewards in the game for doing those things, then I would do it. But, like, it's now become up to the system to provide you with that dopamine, you know? It's like, why isn't Nintendo putting stuff in there for me doing this stupid shit?
Yeah, no, and I agree. And that's why I say, that's why I preface this whole thing with, I don't really give a fuck. If it makes some people happy, then it should implement, as long as it doesn't detract from anybody else's gameplay. That's my true and honest opinion.
Yeah, and unlike microtransactions that actually doesn't impact the actual gameplay, they've done a good job of that, because they could have abused the fuck out of these a long time ago.
But I want Microsoft to pony the fuck up with their original promises of their goddamn point system. I'm still mad about this shit, and I know they lie all the time, but that was the one that really fucking, like, that was the one that stabbed me in the kidneys, man. For those of you that don't remember, the original point system was actually supposed to, as you got platinums, accrue points.
Well, not platinum, yeah, points, but their platinums didn't exist yet.
Sorry. As you got trophies, you accrued points. And these points could actually be spent for content or traded in at the Microsoft store for a ridiculous exchange rate for actual credit towards new games.
You know why they took it out, though, right?
Because it made them less money.
Because people were gathering those points like nothing. I mean, it was some of them were like sort of what we talked about with the PlayStation ones, like, oh, get 10 platinums and within this month. But there were so many developers, like especially EA's board games, where they were just making just two achievements. One was 500, the other one was 500. There you go. So go to Blockbuster, rent all these games, get all your 1,000 points, and there you go. And they were losing money. So they're like, oh, forget this.
So yeah, they threw the baby out with the bathwater.
By the way, Daniel's yelling in the thing that it's still there. Is it?
Oh, you can purchase content with your points?
Yeah, please. Can you do that?
They have the reward system, but I don't think it's to that extent of what it was before. I know I'm part of the Microsoft Rewards program.
What have you got now? Have you got anything?
You take that and you convert it, sort of like how I do it on PSN, but I get more on PSN, but where you get those points and convert it toward $10 or $20 or stuff like that, you know, cards. It's the same type of thing. They send me things all the time where it's like, oh, here's a random question. Who played Luke in Star Wars? You know everyone's going to get this right. And they click and they're like, yo, you got 5 points now.
All right. So I agree with Brett to a certain extent, but I feel like his answer is kind of disingenuous to the whole, like the main aspect of why we like achievements.
My regular one or my overdramatic one?
Well, the Brett answer. I the reason why I agree with Brett is because, yes, it's like a lot of these things are just fake. Like they're kind of like participation awards, you know? They're like, oh, like you grind it out this much to get all these feathers, so you get a notification saying that you got all these feathers that really don't have anything to do with the game itself. So it's like, congratulations. Well, I don't mind that. You can have that. It doesn't really affect me. I'm not an achievement hunter. I'm not a trophy guy. Like they don't really matter to me in that context. But where they do matter to me is where we mentioned this at the beginning, or Adam mentioned this at the beginning, is the documentation. It's like, it tells you like what games you've been, when you've been in some show, a screenshot when you beat it. It's like, I like how it documents your progression through games. It's like, okay, so I've played Gears 3 and I've only been the two levels. It's like, that shit's going to be documented 20 years from now. 20 years from now, you can check out your achievements and be like, yo, I only beat the first two levels of Gears 3. It's like, man, let me get back to that, like finish it off or something like that.
Mark of shame.
It's like,
yeah, man, it is a mark of shame. That's good.
Well,
that's
no, it's good, also, you know? Like Adam said, like there's the whole like, wow, this trophy's ultra rare. Like, I totally get that. Like don't get me wrong, I get that more than anything as the guy who played Dark Souls when somebody said, man, it's like the hardest game ever. I don't know if I can play this game. I was like, huh? Challenge? Like, so yeah, no, I get it. And like the funny thing is, like, Nintendo doesn't have trophies, but some of their games have leaderboards. Like, even in Mario, like the ropes has a fucking leaderboard.
Yeah, but you have to get into the game to check those leaderboards. It's like, oh, so let me see who, I don't even know if the leaderboards are from your online friends, but I know Mario has leaderboards for those Koopa races.
Yeah.
Are those just leaderboards from your local save, or
they're worldwide, man? Because I was like ranked 100,000 something, you know.
So that's good, but like when you want to check, oh, it's like, I wonder, like, it's like you have to go into the game to check that.
Like, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And like Mario, I beat the game. I could just lie and like to everyone and say I beat Mario Odyssey. Oh, hey, I beat Super Mario World back in the day.
Who cares though? If somebody's pathetic enough to lie about completing a video game, like unless it's Cuphead, I totally get. But like for the most part, someone's like, yeah, man, I totally beat Final Fantasy VII. Like, I don't give a shit. And if I'm that concerned, I'll ask you a trivia question, or I'll throw out a fake like, oh man, you get that cutscene at the end where it does the blah blah, and they'll be like, oh yeah, man, that was pretty cool. I'll be like, you're a fucking liar. You're a liar. That's not what happened.
There was no cutscene.
Well, for example, like NES, I played a lot of games. I played Friday the 13th. I don't even know where the hell I got. I don't even remember if I beat the game. I probably didn't, but it'll be cool to check my map and see if I wonder how far I got into this. Yeah, it's like, mm-hmm. like it's a good way to document your gaming history. It's like you could imagine, Brett. Like, let's say if you ever have kids, and it's like 20 years from now, you're like, you're talking to them about a game, and it's like, yeah, look, check this out. Like, it's all like I played freaking Dark Souls 3. Like 20 years from now, your kids are going to be like,
let's say you beat a game, but you didn't beat it in co-op, and you have a kid, and he's like, hey, let's do it.
I get it. Okay, and I want to clarify this before anybody in the online community or who's watching this is fucking yelling at me. Like, I'm playing contrarian here to help with the conversation. I don't get it. It's not my thing. I totally understand. Like, I would be a hypocrite though if I said that it shouldn't happen, because I've often said like, yeah, I mean, like, I don't like let the game be open world. Let there be 400 hours worth of side quests. Tony and I had arguments on this in Dragon Age. And yes, I've stopped.
Yay. Saying,
I kind of miss it now.
You finally, yeah. See, now you
Carlos
do.
Carlos, don't fuck it up. He's finally saying it right, because it irks the fuck out of me when he says it all.
I know, and that's why I was saying it that way. Anyway, we had long conversations about this. About I like the fact that there was a bunch of side quests, because I could do them if I wanted to, and I could skip them also if I wanted to. Whereas Tony was like, I have to do them all. This game takes fucking forever. Which, you know, is exactly why like games like Fallout would also drive Tony fucking crazy. I had to bring it up once per episode. I'm pretty sure that's a rule. So it's
yeah, you know me, bro. I got to clean up that map before I move on, son. It's like, what? And I'm going to be here all day now. You know, Assassin's Creed was just like that. Yeah.
I've always been an advocate of, if it's not hurting anybody, go ahead and let it happen. There's no reason not to. And trophies are one of those instances for me where, look, it's not my thing, but yeah, give the people their trophies. There's people fucking asking for them. They make people happy. They you know, and I'm sure if, especially if you have OCD or any kind of mild OCD, like, I'm sure getting that completionist trophy, it's just fucking satisfying.
Oh yeah, it's
like
fucking,
it's like pulling a plastic off a new electronics. Like,
it's
the
amazing
feeling that you must get. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've chased that dopamine high through three Dark Souls games, so I get it. Whatever gets you there, man. If that's your jam, that's your jam, and they should allow you to do it.
I want to clarify something here. Even though we're on opposing viewpoints, we all understand where the other one's coming from. Like, Brett, I don't disagree with anything you're saying about why you don't like them. It is a total fucking, it's not a waste of time, but it's pointless. It really is, right?
It's not why I don't like them. It's just why I don't participate in
them.
Yeah,
like I get it.
I personally judge my games based on, I'll do an activity if I feel like it's fun and I'm encouraged to do it. But otherwise, I don't really care.
And by the way, we're only talking about a subset of quote unquote getting trophies. That's like the extreme version of people who want to be completionist.
Yeah.
Like getting, like, don't forget, beating the game is getting a trophy, getting an achievement. That's part of the process. So
yeah, my thing is, like, when it comes to platinums, as long as I get 100% in the actual game, I'm fine with that, even if I don't get the platinum. You know what I'm saying? Because I know some of the other shit is like busy work. Let's just be honest, you know?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I want to get that platinum, but if I get 100% in the actual game, like Batman Arkham Knight, I didn't get a platinum, but I 100%ed that bitch, you know?
Oh, I love it when they separate those. That's one of my many beefs with like some of the Assassin's Creed games. You're like, you beat the fucking game and you go and you do a bunch of stuff, and they're like, how am I still at like 48%?
Yeah. Assassin's Creed 2 was like one of the few games I played that if you get 100% in the actual real game, you get the fucking platinum, you know? Like, completely get the
GTA
platinum.
GTA does that. GTA is also like that.
No,
yeah,
not
you don't have to. You don't have to beat everything. You just get 100%.
No. In GTA, if you get 100%, you can't get the platinum because you still got to do the online stuff. Understand?
Well, yeah, you do the online, but I'm talking about there's a whole bunch of other missions. You won't get all. You don't have to do all the missions to get the 100%.
Yeah, no, you don't. Yeah, they give you like an overabundance of missions. Yeah, yeah.
I don't mind all the missions. It's the collecting pigeons that I fucking hate personally.
Yeah,
but that takes you to places that you
normally don't. Yeah, and then it makes you do certain shit. Like that's what like in Mario. Like,
I don't normally go there.
You know what?
Make it interesting.
Oh yeah, here's one. Grand Theft Auto 4. Go inside the Statue of Liberty and shoot the pigeon off of the heart of the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it did take places. Yeah,
who would have done that?
And like I said, it, now I actually really love Mario Odyssey because of the extra shit I need to do to get these moons, because I have to play the game in a completely different way, a more technical way, which I didn't have to do then.
But that brings up my point. That is good game design. Much for the same reason I praise Zelda, where I'm like, I climb that mountain because the game puts it in such a way that I round a corner. I'm like, oh, there's a mountain there. I want to climb. And I get up there and there's stuff up there. Like that should be the natural progression of like, I want to do this thing. Oh, that looks fun. I wonder if I can kill that thing. And you do, and the game's like, here's a reward. I think Mario's great about that. You're like, I wonder if I can get on top of that thing. And you try 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 and finally you do. There's a whole bunch of coins just fucking, like a big fucking stack of coins just sitting up there. You know, the developers are like, hey, good job for doing this hard thing.
Hey, Brett, as great as that experience sounds, wouldn't it sound even slightly just an insy bit better if it had that achievement or trophy sound at the end of it?
Yes, man. You know, like, ding. I would love that. Or boop, 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 whatever the fuck the Xbox
does. Which is weird for me. And I have to admit this. I'm a very competitive person. So a lot of times I find myself having trouble getting sucked into like big time sinking games. Like one of the reasons I love like Ark and that kind of game so much is because I feel like everything I do has more consequence because I'm actually in a world shared with other players. So you put any semblance of competitiveness or like, you know, that's one of the reasons Dark Souls sticks with me so much. Like, yes, like I have to get the best weapon and I have to be the very best because somebody may come through and try and whoop my ass and I'm going to fire lance the fuck out of them and then dance on their grave and laugh. But if I didn't have the chance to fire lance the fuck out of random strangers and then dance on their grave, I wouldn't be as compelled to push myself that last 2%. So it's weird that I don't really care about trophies. Like I give zero, even as you say that, I'm like, nah, I really wouldn't care. But that's, I admit that's weird, especially for me, because the thing that pings me the most is getting those trophies, those gold trophies that are, you know, ultra rare, like doing those things that other people haven't managed to do. Like that's where I can absolutely understand it the most. But for the rest, it's just, It's for me, it's always been bragging rights. Maybe just that it's that old school thing.
Yeah, but
again, like leaderboards. Yeah. I love leaderboards.
Yeah, and leaderboards I never cared for. But again, for me, I've always been getting 100% before these things even existed.
Wait a minute. So, you don't like leaderboards?
No, not really.
There's a weird psychological thing going on here then.
Why is that?
Because I like leaderboards, competition, online multiplayer, but I'm not a fan of trophies. You're pretty much polar opposite on that.
Yeah, we're different types of gamers, man. That's what makes things so beautiful, you know? Brett, you and I had a conversation about this, how you and I like doing mundane things in games, but different types of mundane things in games. I like collecting trophies. I like collecting collectibles. You hate that shit, but you like building stuff. I hate building stuff.
I hate hunting down pigeons, but I will tend to potato crops for 2 hours.
That's what I'm saying. Like we both like mundane shit, just different types of mundane shit. You know, it's interesting. Yeah.
So you should give everybody their options.
Exactly. All right. As long as it doesn't fuck up anybody's game, man, for sure. All right. Next up here, I've currently, speaking about a giant ass game, I've currently been playing Assassin's Creed Origins, and it's probably going to be my game of the year. With that said, do you think more developers should space out their game releases for development time to improve or innovate the franchise or take a full step up from the previous entry? He's talking about the fact that there was a year gap between this Assassin's Creed and the last one. Yes, take as much time as you need. You don't need to rush these games.
Hold on a second now.
Unless you have multiple studios.
Let's not forget that there are studios other than Ubisoft out there. Like, if we're talking about just blatantly, should they take more time? I don't think necessarily.
I think he's talking about like game, you know, studios that put out yearly games. I think he's talking about like, you know.
Yeah, that's how I read it too.
That's the impression that I got, but he didn't say that, and that's why I wanted to make that specification.
Yeah.
Should there be longer before Elder Scrolls games? Put out the next one.
Let's just go with yearly annual games. Yeah, because obviously you'll be waiting 20 years between fucking Elder Scrolls and Grand Theft Auto games,
dude. Especially because now they're like focusing, like, we don't just want to make Elder Scrolls and Fallout games, so we're letting our development team do other stuff. I'm like, why? It takes them like 8 years to make each game. Well, we don't want that to be their entire career. Why? People love those games. Like, what are you gonna do? Make another fucking Brink? Go fuck yourself and get back to Fallout.
Annual games. I've always been against. Don't do that shit. Just come out with them every other year. You know,
no, that was the point of DLC, motherfuckers.
Yeah, right. Shit.
Yeah. If you think about it, when's the last time we got like a mainline Elder Scrolls game that's not like an online kind of thing?
Yeah, it's been like 7 or 8 years, man. That's what I'm saying. Like. Skyrim, Fallout, Skyrim, Fallout. What are you talking about?
We had Skyrim come out last Friday, right?
Oh.
No, he's saying, I did cheap punch, haha. But no, I get what he's saying. But like, no, literally, it's between generally 7 and 8 years. Like, it's always been a really long development time because they go from Fallout to Skyrim, and now they're like, we're going to do some other stuff. And no, let's open another studio. Don't. Something else.
Yeah, because
we don't need longer between GTA games.
No, we don't. I want people to realize that the last time an Elder Scrolls game came out, which was Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, even the old Throwdown did not fucking exist. That's how long ago it was, man.
It's crazy, man.
November 11th, 2011, son.
Oh, 2011?
Yeah, Throwdown didn't exist. You know, so none of you motherfuckers even heard of us, man. That's how long it's been.
College.
Shit. But yeah, take as much time as you need, but you know, don't take too long, I guess.
Yearly games deem to not be a thing. That should just be
they really deals. Don't. Yeah, they get rid of yearly games. That's fucking bullshit.
And we just discussed that about sports games and stuff like that too.
Sports games, just release DLC. You don't need fucking new sports games.
Yeah. 2 year minimum, preferably 3 years.
Yes,
three to 5 years seems to be the sweet spot for developing a good game.
Yes,
that actually makes progress in the previous iteration. Anything between then, you're not really overhauling. You're just adding, and that can all be done through DLC. In an optimal world that we were all sold the fucking decade ago. Games would be kept alive for 2 to 3 years until their next iteration through DLC until they were ready to implement a new game engine and new functionality. And that's when it would get the overhaul and the release for the new game.
Yeah. Anyway, Adam, get in here, man.
Which part?
Everything. You know,
a lot of things.
Yeah.
Studios and the lead time. Yeah, no, I mean, unless they pull like what Activision and what's smart about with Call of Duty and just adding more studios and say, all right, get everybody involved because then that gives them a longer window. I mean, what's it, 2 years? You know, 2 years each team has to develop a new version of Call of Duty and make it their own. And that's a good amount of time, you know, dedicating 2 years to one project. So, I mean, it's not like they're creating a whole new engine. Now, if you want something like that, then yeah, you're gonna need more time. But I think it worked out for the new AC. I mean, I haven't put much time into it because you know Call of Duty's out and it's that Call season. Duty. But they're right, shoot them in the face, you know. But you know, it's been getting rave reviews, and I was always a fan, even with Syndicate. I liked Syndicate. I think
Syndicate was dope. Yeah,
Syndicate was dope. You know, but it already had the bad taste in everyone's mouth from Unity.
Yep.
So people backed away from it, and that's a shame because that was a really good game. You know, but you know, give it a year, give it two, who knows? You know, give it whatever they need to make the game. That's the whole thing. I think we all agree on. It's like, don't put a number on it or a date or a year. Just it's done when it's done. You know, and I think it'll work out for everybody. It's a win-win for the fans. They get a quality game. Win-win for the publisher. Yeah, it kind of sucks for shareholders. And sometimes when they're like, hey, we need this game to come out at a certain time because we want to see profits. And it's like, shit, what do you do? You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why we see a lot of these games getting rushed that shouldn't come out. And they're coming out because they just have to release something in that quarter.
Yeah, exactly. Chris, get in here, man. Mr. Chris. He is gone now. He's muted. All right.
Oh, sorry. There I was talking the whole time. Yeah, no, I agree with what Adam said. Like, give the games the time they need. Like, the early stuff, yeah, needs to go. Even sports games, I think, is the biggest waste of money. Like, you tell me you can't put a roster in there and some tweaks, you know, every year.
Yeah, it's bullshit. That, you need to do
FIFA, man. Like, the engine's good, so just, you know, it's like $15. I could get a new roster and update. So just do that.
And jump on what you said with the sports, and they drop dramatically in price within like a few months, and in some cases, once the season's over, $20. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, a few months. So that's usually what I do. I just wait, you know, and the next, you know, $20, $15, you know, get the mega edition.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the other games, like, yeah, let Call of Duty breathe. Let these other games breathe, man. Do something else. Do some explorations. That's the thing. These guys don't take any chances. They don't test anything. It's like, just keep churning this out. Run this fucking franchise into the ground. Activision doesn't learn anything. Hey, just keep making Guitar Hero games till it goes in the ground.
You know?
They're buried. Like, they were pumping out, I think they were publishing Call of Duty and Medal of Honor at the same time. I'm like, yo, how many of these games you gonna do?
Yeah, man. And those Guitar Heroes, remember there was an Aerosmith one, there was a Metallica one. And they was like,
oh, yeah,
every band got one.
They were getting their own version, you know, and they're like, oh, we can keep this up. I'm like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
People eventually be like, you know what? No, I'm not buying this $60 interactive album where I play with my toy guitar. No.
Yeah, that shit died out quick, boy.
Oh, yeah. They burned into the ground. And when Rock Band came in, now you had competition. It was just too much.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was too much because it went from the guitar to having a bass and next, you know, a whole band. Remember? It was like you got the
drums. I remember that. Yeah, yeah. But the thing, here's the thing. It burned out fast, but that shit was like on fire, like for a good 2 or 3 years. That shit was ridiculous, man.
I remember going to bars and they had a setup in the back so people play.
Yep, I remember that shit, man. It's crazy, bro. All right. Next question is, okay, this is an interesting one. So far this year, what game have you put the most hours into?
You know my answer. That was Wildlands. That was like, what, 120 hours?
Yeah, that's right.
120.
You went ham on that shit, boy.
Yeah, man. And that was one of those things where I'd wake up in the middle of the night like, shit, I think I know where I can find that document. I know where that shit is. Yeah. I'm telling you, there was times where I woke up early in the morning just to go check a certain area out because I was like, I think I know where that shit is. You know, and it's like I put in a lot of time. And then the weird thing is some of these games, it's almost like a casino. They don't want you to know. Because then you know how much time you're putting in. Because then it's like, oh, fuck with your head. You know, damn, I'm putting too much time in this. I could be playing with my kids or something. You know, but, you know, that game, they sent me an email every month, you know, or every other week. They would send me an email. It's like, hey, here's your progress report. You beat this mission. You killed this drug lord. And you put in 65 hours. What?
Damn, per week, yeah, son? Wow. Shit.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
That shit is crazy.
Tell me, they were my friends.
Yeah, no, this year I played a lot of like big games, but pure hours wise, it's gonna probably be Persona 5 because like
Persona.
It took me about 96 hours to beat the game, and then I snuck in about another 10 because I started doing New Game Plus, but then I stopped, you know. So yeah, about 105 hours or so. Great fucking game, man. And then probably the second one after that would probably be. Probably Assassin's Creed Unity and then Zelda. Zelda took a long time because, like, I think the last 10 hours of that game before I just said, fuck this shit, what am I doing? I was just grinding for the, like, you know those robots they have around the land?
The Guardians, yeah.
I was grinding for pieces for them so I could build up the super armor. But then I just got sick of it. I'm like, fuck it, I just want to beat this game. You know, but I was grinding like a bitch trying to get that shit, you know?
And right now, EA Battlefront rep is writing all this shit down, saying, oh, do you hear these guys?
If you're listening also, and Brett, I know you're going to get mad at me, I would have put more hours into that game if those towers told me where all the fucking shrines were. You know, I'm like, I'm not trying to go to YouTube to find that shit, you know?
Oh, yeah, the Sheikah sensor is garbage.
Yeah, it's garbage. I'm like, listen, why can't the towers tell me where all this shit is, and then I just have to go find it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, people are going to go to YouTube anyway. Just make it easier on them. I would have loved to check out every shrine, because the shrines, and those were amazing, you know, trying to figure out how to work them and stuff, but I'm not trying to go through all that shit, you know? So, yeah, Persona 5. Persona! Carlos, what about you, man? What game did you put? Not Heroes of the Storm, by the way. Oh,
yeah, I was about. Yo, I took out my fucking calculator because I don't.
Nah, son.
All right, so
I have a calendar here.
Yeah. Well, what I was gonna do is like I was like, how many days have passed through this year, and I was gonna multiply that times like 40 minutes.
Okay, besides Heroes of the Storm, even though I do want your answer for that one though. So
I don't know how many hours I have in Mario because I already have 450 stars on that, and I put a lot of time.
Yeah, I got 40 hours. It tells you, you know, that's a good thing about Switch. It does. Oh. That's the thing it tracks. It tracks the fucking hours.
But I'm on it right now, and I can't see it. I can only see, like, other games that I played, not Mario.
Really? Okay. I think you may have to turn it off and come back and shit. It's really weird how it works, but to me, it says I put 40 hours, and I have, like, 640-something, maybe 650, something like that, moons, you know?
God damn. Yeah, man. You get to a point where you're like, man, I'm going to have to pay 50 freaking coins every freaking time to ask Toad to tell me where the hell the next moon's at.
Shit, I haven't even done it yet. Actually, now I'm at the point where I'm like, all right, Tony, time to hit up YouTube because I found everything that's on the fucking map. You know how, like, you know, it shows you those extra ones on the map? I got all that shit. So I'm like, okay, that's it. Gotta hit up YouTube now, you know?
Yeah, because some of them... like, are just ridiculous, man. It's like, how the hell am I supposed to think to do that? And then there's other ones where it's like just this random place where in the ground it starts vibrating. You're like, oh, I have to, like, butt punch the freaking ground.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's not like, how do I get them? It's like, where do I get them? Like, you're running around the map. It's like, I don't, you know, you're like John Travolta. It's like... Like, what?
Yeah, man. It's like you literally have to go through the map hundreds of times to like just run around to figure out how to get everything.
Yeah, ain't nobody got time for that shit.
Yeah.
You know, yo, but by the way, speaking of Mario, not to derail this shit, get to Darker Side, man. That shit is gonna take you minimum 15 minutes to get through, and there are no checkpoints. You have to do that shit from beginning to end without, like, you know, if you die, you go whoop all the way back to the beginning, son. I don't even know how far I've made it into this shit. I think I'm like a third through, and I've played it for like a good 3 hours already. This shit is fucked. Every trick you've learned in the game, you need to utilize. That's how you fucking make platforming games, man. Amazing. You know? Okay, so I guess you... Hold on. Didn't you beat Persona, bro?
No, I'm like in the fourth castle. So I was going to say, not yet. I'm playing it right now, actually. Not right now, like right now during the show. But like
Adam's playing Need for Speed. I see that shit, Adam.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to you about Need for Speed, man, because just quickly, Adam, I don't mind the whole like, hey, I got to go to a shop to buy upgrades and shit, because every time I buy something, I do get upgraded. But I am with you. I'm like, I don't like the fact that the upgrades are fucking random. I'm totally with you on that one. But I like the fact that when I do buy something, it always upgrades my car. But I do feel it's too little. You know what I'm saying? It's like trickling little bit. But the driving is so good, I can forgive that shit.
Well, because it's still Need for Speed.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
It's just that they messed everything. And the story, I'm not even listening to it. It's
Fast and Furious, bro. It's Fast and Furious. But anyway, I'll talk to you more about it. But you see what I'm talking about with the gameplay? It's still tight. You know, that's where I'm coming at it from. Anyway, Carlos. So what would it be? Mario, you must have played Zelda more than that shit, man.
No.
Oh, did you beat Zelda?
No, not yet.
Oh, damn! You're Torrance right now, son. You don't beat games.
No, I'm. Well, I've beaten a lot of games. Hold on, let me. I heard this man's pride right now.
Wait.
Son. Yeah, I beat a lot. Wait,
I beat games. I beat games, son. I beat Heroes of the Storm last night.
I've beaten Heroes of the Storm like 100 times now, probably. So, I mean, I've beaten Cuphead. I've beaten Nier. I've beaten Mario. What else did I play this year? I've beaten other stuff. Anyways, like. I think it's between either Mario or Persona, because I have over 30 hours in Persona 5, and Mario, I just can't see, like, it doesn't tell me, but I'm pretty sure I have like 30 hours in Mario. I'm gonna try to reset. How do you reset a Switch? Like, not going to sleep mode.
Oh, You hold the power button and then switch it to off. Damn, Carlos, that's some lightweight shit. Cause like, again, like the games I'm talking about, like 95 hours, 60 hours, 70 hours. Like your boy went in this year, man. You know?
Yeah, man. You've been playing those long ass freaking experiences.
Like I don't want to play another open world game for a while. Cause you know me, I get into these games, I'm like, oh fuck, I gotta clean up this. I can't go forward until I clean up this fucking map. But the thing is, especially in Assassin's Creed, cleaning up the map is fun. You know, so it's like, I don't want to miss out on this shit. That's why it took me so long to do the damn review, you know?
Yeah, like, for example, Persona 5, there's this place called Mementos, right?
Yes.
And Mementos, when I was going through
the Fresh Maker.
Well, those things, man, like, there's like a shitload of enemies there.
Oh, yeah.
But what I didn't notice is that you can avoid all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I didn't know that, man.
I'm going to keep it real. When I got to the lower parts of Mementos, I'm like, fuck this shit. Zoom! Right to the end, you know?
Exactly. Well, for me, I'm like, yo, man, my level is fine right now. I'm just going to pass by these guys right now.
Yep. That's what I stayed in Mementos when I needed to level up. But by the end, I'm like, man, these guys aren't doing shit for me. Zoom! Right to the end. Fuck that, you know?
Yo, man. Yo, one second, yo. This shit is fucking lying to me right now.
What's up? How many hours you got, son? Like 20?
Super Mario Odyssey, 15 hours.
Damn, man. That's lightweight, son.
No, that's not true.
Why is that?
Yo, I have over 450 freaking moons, man. There's no way I could get 450 moons.
No, man. It just means you're a beast, bro.
Yo, this shit, I swear to fucking God, this shit is lying, man. 15 hours ain't nothing.
Here's the funny thing, because I think it does it in increments of 5. I could be wrong. So you may have 19 hours or something in that bitch, you know?
Yo, I can't believe it. Yo, like, I spent freaking whole throwdowns just playing Mario, man.
Yo, this shit is crazy. Wow. All right, man. Chris, what about you, man? What game did you spend the most time on in 2017? Almost in 2017.
I'd say Resident Evil 7, because I platinumed it twice.
Crazy, man.
And
this man has balls of steel, man.
And then it would be, the next would be GTA 5 and then Zelda. In 2017, I put a ton of hours still to GTA 5. Yo, I'm playing this shit right now.
Yo, Chris, man. I say those because you know you're my boy and everything. But if you don't play Mario by the end of the year, I'm going to come over there, man. I'm going to slap you real quick.
No, I'm going to play Mario, but I got to finish my Zelda. Beer to finish your tequila, man.
By the way, shout out to Sean Garrity. Yes, my man. It's Valkyria Chronicles 4 is coming. I am fucking hyped. Can't wait, man. Ooh. Yeah, for PS4, Switch, you know, Xbox. This is not that Valkyria Revolution. Yo, by the way, is Valkyria Revolution? I put an hour into that shit. I stopped playing. I'm like, fuck this shit. Yeah. I spent money on that bitch, you know? That's how bad it was. I played more fucking dumbass Prey than that shit, you know? Anyway, Brett, what game have you played the most this year? And is it Zelda?
Yeah, probably.
How many hours do you have on it, bro? I'm curious.
Wait, more than Fallout?
Well, I don't know. I've played a lot of Fallout lately, but I think Zelda probably tops it.
Take out that Switch, probably, man. I'm curious now.
Probably about 100. Let me see.
Man, I think
it was 86 last time I checked.
Nice. You did the other shit too, right? The DLC stuff.
I actually haven't finished all the DLC. I haven't finished one of the bosses either.
Nice. With the DLC, you get the permanent Master Sword, right? The one that doesn't break?
Yeah. I tend to space, like, it's one of those games, like, I'm kind of afraid to beat it because I don't want it to be over. So, like, I'm one of those people where I'll either play if it has multiple, like, endings, like Fallout, like, I'll play through, like, my first Fallout playthrough, I did the Brotherhood, and I only did probably about a third of the side missions. And when I felt I had done a bunch of side missions, I just plowed through to the end. And then I waited for the next DLC to come out, and I started a new character, and I was like, I'm going to do the Railroad ending. And then I would do, you know, the DLC, the Railroad ending, and some of the other side quests. And so that's generally how I tackle games where I know there's going to be DLC coming out that I want. So for those of you who are all aghast, like, oh my God, I haven't finished Zelda, it's because I know that there's one more big DLC coming. That's going to add some substantial content. And that plus the last dungeon, plus finishing up the Master Sword trial will be a good enough chunk of content that I'll be able to sit down for a real gaming session. I like a bit more meat to my games than just a DLC generally provides.
Nice. All right, man. So that's all of us for that question. So the last question here is Mr. Joel Torres, man. Another one of these questions, man. What do you guys think could have been the lifetime sales of the N64 if Final Fantasy 7 through 9 and Metal Gear Solid were exclusives?
Oh, God.
That's what I'm saying. It's one of these, like, hypotheticals, bro.
Quite a bit?
Yeah. I don't think so, because the games would have been super limited being squeezed on an N64 cartridge.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Final Fantasy 7 was 4 discs. Four mm-hmm. CDs, right? Yo, imagine paring that shit down to fit on one cartridge, one N64 cartridge.
Well, you know, for those who don't know, the reason the game is on PlayStation, not on Nintendo, the platform where all Final Fantasy games came out on Nintendo up until that point, reason it wasn't on N64 is because they couldn't fit that shit on it. That's why, on a fucking cartridge, you know? Yeah. That's why Square Enix or Squaresoft, they were like, fuck it, you know? So, yeah, you're right about that. Maybe they wouldn't have done that well because they would have been gimped. I don't know. That's a good question.
They would have been horribly gimped, so it wouldn't really help the system more than it would have hurt the games.
And those games... that would have been. And here's the thing. You got to understand something. Those games, the way you know them, would not exist in that form on N64. They didn't have the graphics. They didn't have the... They especially didn't have the fucking sound. You know, that shit would not... Like, the voice acting for Metal Gear, N64 couldn't handle that shit. You know, yeah,
those video cutscenes, nope.
No, don't forget about it. So those games, if they would have been released, they would have been severely gimped, and they may not even be the classics that we know, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't think it would have done anything to, you know, they probably would have sold, but, you know, whatever. I don't even know how much did the Nintendo 64 sell lifetime? I don't even know.
I'm not sure.
I don't think it would have done anything, to be honest.
My guess, like 30 million.
We could probably check, but I'm being lazy.
Yeah, there are games that play to its strength, but you got to understand, the reason you loved Metal Gear Solid, the reason we love Final Fantasy with all the content, the music and all that stuff, strip all that out, right? Strip out those graphics and put on N64. You're just hurting those titles. You're not helping Nintendo 64 at that rate, right?
By the way, it was close, 32.
Oh, shit, not bad. Those games would probably not be considered classics. You know, they'd be in a completely different form, you know? All right, that's going to pretty much... Anybody else want to jump in on that? I guess one of those weirdo speculation questions. All right, I'm going to take this a no. So, I was debating whether I should have said this on the last story. It's probably better I do it now because people get fucking confused. All right, so this week we will be recording on Wednesday night because Thursday we will be... stuffing our faces out. What is it, like glycoglycemic shock or whatever? we'll be getting fucked up on Thursday because of Thanksgiving, you know? I wrote it here as X-giving to entertain myself. So, yes, episode 160 of Throwdown, Wednesday, same time, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, man. I want that food.
Yeah, we're going to be eating.
That's it, man. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. Tell your friends, tell your wife, tell your kids. Oh man, all right, so that's gonna do it for us. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a questions in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or over on the Coalition. We'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. Tonight is joined by Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Later, people.
Brett Murdoch.
See you, everybody.
And Adam Vail.
Play that COD, man.
Yo, and catch the fucking WrestleCast, son. That's a lot of hours. That's a lot of content.
Right. If you have, like, I don't know, a cross-country trip to take, download.
Apparently, Adam put more hours into WrestleCast this week than I have in Super Mario Odyssey.
That's crazy. All right, man. We'll see y'all on Thursday, man. Peace.
Later. See y'all.